Fiona, Big Mama's Pirate, and I'm in the Blues Kitchen in Camden with...
Were you with me? Of course you're with me.
Yes, but who's me, please?
Oh, don't play with me. It's the infamous Big Joe Louise.
Yes, that's who we're here with, the big infamous Big Joe Louise. Do you have a way with women, do you think?
Oh, for goodness sake, what kind of question is that?
It's a question.
Do I have a way with women?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very fond of women.
Yes.
One at a time. You know, you've really... you've really got me there. Do you have a way with women?
What do you think?
I prefer to spend time with women.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking on a friendship thing. I find it easier to talk to them. I like communicating with them. They're more open than men. I don't have very much in common with most other men. I don't stand all the usual guy things like sports and drinking and the humour I find a little... yeah, I'm not one of the guys. You know, I...
You are a guy.
I'm a healthy guy in most other in most other ways, but yeah, I seem to naturally find it easier to get on with women.
Okay, that answered my question. My next question is, what's your favourite time of day?
Favourite time of day? You know, I like them all. These days I've been waking up early, 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I like that time just to sit and drink my very strong coffee at 5 in the morning and read and maybe play records quietly. The day, I like afternoons, late afternoons, sunny siestas, I like those. Fiestas and siestas in the afternoon.
Fiestas and siestas.
And late evenings, very good. I like it all.
Okay.
That's a really hard question. There isn't a time, I don't wake up going, oh my God, I hate mornings. You know when people say I'm a morning person or an evening person? I'm a day person. It's like all the day and all the nights.
It's a good answer. I like
yeah.
it. So, tell me about Big Joe Louise. How did he come about? Where did you come from?
What is this third party thing? Is it third person thing? Where did I come from? Came many, many hundreds of years ago. I came from a little place in the Caribbean called Jamaica, which is where I was... conceived and born and schooled and raised, and then I was picked up and transported across the Atlantic Ocean and stuck in some little place in Kent, which I lasted for about 3 years and then 4 years, and I left home and moved to London and haven't really looked back since.
Okay, so how did you get into music? How did that come about then?
It was always music. My parents were both in the theatre. They were actors and directors. And they had lots of friends who were musicians and worked in the record business in Jamaica. Radio and TV, my dad used to do quite a lot of radio, especially. And it was always there. They'd have parties and people would be playing records. We'd go to concerts, we'd go and see people like Byron Lee and the Dragonairs. They used to play quite a lot at like barbecues at hotels and things. My dad used to work for this guy who owned hotels on the north coast, Orcheras, Montego Bay, all around there. And sometimes he'd let us go and stay there for the weekend. And we'd be like surrounded by all these American tourists, and we were just getting like a little free weekend. And Byron Lee used to play by the pool. And they all had these matching red waistcoats and big cummerbunds and tight pants and big ruffled sleeves. They looked like some kind of mariachi band looking back on it. But they were just really exciting and great. And they'd do tourist stuff, but they were such good musicians, you could listen to anything they did.
And was it the music or the tight trousers?
Yeah, well, now you got me wondering. Now you have got me wondering. But, you know, in Jamaica, there was music all the time, everywhere in the streets and in church. I used to go to church quite a lot. And it was just always there. You know, I don't remember it being anything, you know, for some people, music is like a separate part of their life, whereas it was just always there with me.
But did you say your mother and father were both actors?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so not full time, but yeah.
Yeah, but why not acting then instead of music?
Who knows?
I don't know.
I mean, my grandfather, my father's father, was a musician. He was a cellist, ended up in Havana and playing in the 20s and 30s. And my grandmother was a singing teacher, and just about for about three or four generations back, everybody's been in music or acting. Or my sister was an actor, a model, and. My brother's a musician. Two brothers. One's a singer. One's a musician. And it's just always been there. Why not acting? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I do that as well.
Maybe you do. Mm-hmm. I think you probably do.
Don't we all, though?
Don't we all is right. So you said when you moved to London, you never looked back. Why is that? What happened?
What, musically or personally? I don't know.
Well, I guess more.
Just not fitting in England. You know, I came here in the 70s, and I came from the Caribbean to, it was winter, like this time of year, October or September or November. And it was in the middle of when they had all the strikes, and, you know, we used to get power cuts in Jamaica, but here you had 3-day weeks, and you know, you... It was just a very dark and a very oppressive and bleak place for me. And it was all the time of the National Front. And I found a lot of the attitudes, especially, you know, moving straight to a small town in Kent, where anybody that was any way different, you know, that's why I lost my accent very quickly. Because, you know, I spoke like any Jamaican.
And how is that now?
And I got it beaten out of me at school.
You're not going to do it for me?
No, I don't do that.
Okay,
to electrics. And so it was really hard to adjust. And I knew nothing about it. I never lived here, and it was, everything was different. The schools were different. You know, we had tough schools in Jamaica. We learned a lot of stuff. But here it was kind of, it was really hard to, I just found it really hard to fit in. And I didn't, you know, the food was different and everything was different. When I came to London, you could be a bit more anonymous. And then you found all the places you could go and get food that you liked, and you could buy the vegetables you were used to and all that kind of stuff. And people weren't so down on somebody just because they were different.
Mm.
And that's why I feel...
I have to say, that's one of the reasons I love London,
yeah.
Is that you can be exactly who you want.
Yeah,
you're okay.
Right. That's absolutely it. And, yeah, I couldn't go back to that kind of little town thing, because I came from Kingston, you know, it's a big city. And
So is London home now? Would you say it's home, or would you still think Jamaica's home?
It's where I live.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard, because I've lived over in England so long. Is it home? Home is where I live. That's the way I've always seen it.
Okay.
And I don't feel, you know, excuse me here, I don't feel British. And I don't really feel Jamaican. And I don't really care about nationalities. And, you know, if I was really forced to watch some kind of sports game or, you know, the running things.
Right.
I wouldn't care who wins. I'm not competitive, so I don't care. It's just... So, do I feel this or that? I just feel like me. I don't like being, like, he's that or he's that.
So did coming to London influence the type of music that you played, or was that something that was already there?
It was already there, I guess, because I moved to London, then for about 2 years I moved out to a place called Herne Bay in Kent, which is where I met King David.
Yes.
My dear old friend King David.
How long have you been playing with King David now?
About 26 years.
It's incredible. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah. But I met him and we started exploring music. He was always much more advanced than I am as a musician. And he knew a lot more about the music, but we kind of explored it together. You know, one of us would buy a record 1 month, and then the next month, you know, I'd buy a record, and we'd sit around, and we'd just listen and listen and listen and play one song over and over again, and we'd try and figure out what was going on there. You know, when he does that, how do you do that? And so I was already deep into it by the time I moved back up to London, because first time around, I was more into soul music. Because coming here, I didn't find any of my music in England. And the music that people were listening to here, certainly when I was at school, was, you know, hard rock and heavy metal stuff and Genesis. And so, you know, I was more into soul. I liked disco. You know, I used to like, you know, that was more my kind of music. And so I would go to soul clubs and get into that. But it was really meeting David that kind of made me start playing this kind of music more. And when I came back, you know, happened to meet a few people like Gaz Mail, who, you know, encouraged me here at the club, and he'd, you know, get me to come down with musicians and rehearse with him, and he'd play piano. But yeah, I guess London had a big influence on that.
So for people that are listening that don't know Big Joe Lewis,
I suppose there must be one or two, right?
There's probably I'd say it's three now at the most, in fairness.
Yeah, they've done some surveys, right?
Yeah, they have, just three. So for those three people, how would you describe your music?
I'll write to them separately.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay.
How would I describe my music? Well, I guess it's based on country blues. And it's not I like to think it's not the standard kind of shuffle here and a cover of a T-Bone Walker, all that stuff, because that's not me. The words and the ideas behind the songs, I try and make really personal. And it gets me in trouble sometimes when I'll be singing a song about somebody who I used to care about, and you're with somebody who isn't that same person, and they maybe don't like to hear that. Or you sing about ways that you've behaved in the past which you're not particularly proud of. And yeah, so anyway, true songs with a kind of beat and a move and a groove.
And there's some humor to them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not comedy, but yeah, if you're going to try and tell a story and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything. So, what do you think is your most personal song that you've written?
Oh, that's a tough one. I guess one of the earliest ones was Down Jamaica Way. One of the first personal things I wrote, you know, about missing my home. It was one winter and it was just really bitter and cold, and I kind of wondered what the hell I was doing here. There have been songs I've written about women.
That was my next question. Going back to my first question to you, if you have a way with women, what would be your favorite song about a woman? Because I know there are a couple.
Well, I don't know. You're putting me on the spot here. Well, there's one I'm very fond of, which is, it's got two titles. One is a short title, one is a long title. And the short title is Tailor Made. And the long title is probably too long for this.
Oh, give it a
go. I don't want a skinny woman with hair like drops of rain. I like a full-grown woman with hair like a horse's mane.
I don't want a skinny woman with...
hair like drops of rain, you know, little short hair.
And I want a full-grown woman with...
hair like a horse's mane.
There you go, women. That's what he's looking
for. Hello, come on, I'm not... You know, I was talking to a very dear friend of mine. And she said, well, you know, maybe some little skinny thing, you know, feel offended about that. And I said, well, you know what? I know plenty of women who every day they walk past billboards, magazines, and it's full of child women who, you know, well, I mean, it's the same old thing about models being too, you know, I'm not going to get involved with it, but, you know, all I can say is,
you like a full-figured woman.
I like women that look like women, you know. You know, it's not a it's not a conscious thing. It's an unconscious thing. How can you describe the kind of person that turns your head and makes your heart beat a bit faster?
It's a personal thing.
It's a personal thing. And, you know, I can't really help. I'm not going to censor what I write about just because somebody's going to say.
What about the skinny ladies?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like there aren't enough songs about it? Well then, anyway, you know, I guess part of it is a culture I grew up in where, you know, healthy woman is a beautiful woman.
That's fair enough. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, okay.
Coming from a healthy
woman. I'm going to get in trouble now.
No, you're not going to get in trouble at all. I think there's a lot of healthy women will appreciate that. Particular way of writing songs, or is it just?
Yeah, they just come to me. I'm terrible. I've got friends who sit and actually, you know, get a pad and a pen out and decide they're going to write some songs, and I just can't do it. And they just, somebody will say something, and then all of a sudden, it can just be a line from a song, and it might take 6 years to come through finally. And you'll remember that one thing that somebody said, or they can just come literally within half an hour. They just come pouring out. And I don't have any control over it, and I wish I did, because then maybe I could write a few more songs.
You also DJ.
I do.
Can you remember the first record you bought?
I think it was a record called Ride on Sammy by Ernie Smith.
Okay.
Which probably doesn't mean anything. It was a little hit in Jamaica. Other side was Guava Jelly, which I'm very fond of.
Guava Jelly. Have you ever done a cover of Guava Jelly?
No, I haven't done that. But no, that's probably the first record I bought with my own money.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
I have so much to ask you. I think there may have to be a part two. I don't know what it'll be tonight. But anyway.
Let's do a part two. You know, I've got a lot to say for myself.
I know you do. I'm not even halfway through the interview and we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
You've been playing for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, not that long. Yeah, I have been playing a very long time. I'm older than Dirt, me.
Dirt?
Yeah.
Dirt's very old. Yeah. I don't think you're that old. But the reason I say this is because along the way you've played with some amazing people, met incredible people. And I think the last time I almost asked you who was your favourite, but I think that would be unfair. But are there highlights? Would there be people
that...
Yeah,
lots of them.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them, to be frank, I have trouble remembering some of the shows because, you know, in the 90s, we'd do some festival shows where you'd turn up, you'd be introduced to somebody literally 10 minutes before you went on stage. You'd have no run-through, no rehearsal, no set list, and you just go on and play, and then they'd go off and you'd go off. And that was not all that satisfying, but... The people who I remember most are the ones I've spent most time with and travelled and had lots of fun with, people like Lazy Lester and Big Lucky Carter and Big Jack Johnson and Mud Morganfield. And,
what a few, like.
Yeah, well, a lot of them, you know. I mean, playing with R.L. Burnside, that was really something. That was a very funny night. In fact, there are clips of it on YouTube. Really? Not with us, because I have decided not to put those up because it degenerated into a little bit of a jam mess thanks to some people that he was playing with. But everyone in their own way, I remember. Just some more than others. And you look back and you sort of think, wow, you did some shows at Homesick James. That's really something. Or, mm-hmm. You know, we did some recording at Honey Boy. That was really something. So yeah, I've been very lucky and very blessed. And, you know, all that experience and all those memories, I wouldn't trade for the things that most other musicians in my line think is important.
You know? Which are?
I don't know. I don't know. Doing tea. All I know is that several times during the time I was doing a lot more of this, and there would be agents or bookers that would say, you know, you shouldn't be having to do this backing stuff. You know, you should be out like so and so, going off to Germany for 3 weeks, and you know, promoting your latest album. And I've always been contrary, and so if I think, you know what, I just want to do this, I do it my way, and I don't really care. And so if I want to go and play for no money, just backing somebody whose music I've just loved and respected for a long time, then I'll do it. And that memory will stay with me, and I'll cherish it.
Okay, do you have a favorite gig that, out of all the God knows how many you've done?
I guess the simple answer is no, not a single one. But I will always remember the times of the residency I had at Station Tavern, which was a venue over in West London, just a little rundown pub, but I played there every week for 12 years. And for about 10 of those years, it was absolutely packed every single week. And I just had some wonderful, wonderful times, made so many great friends. And yeah, you can't really explain. That was another thing which people said, you know, are you nuts doing this thing? You know, you realized if you stopped doing that residency, maybe you could play the 100 Club once every 3 or 4 months. And I would think, you don't get me, do you? You really don't get me. So I guess those times. But, you know, there have been other things that you look, whether it's some amazing playing by the harbor in Malta or something, or some crazy show in the States or Australia or something. No, I always look back at those nights at Station Town very fondly.
Okay. I know you've got about 2 minutes before you have to go and play.
Shh, I've got to get changed.
You're not changed yet.
I can't wear blue jeans on stage.
Can you not?
No.
You look good in blue jeans.
Thank you. Enough.
If I was to ask you to give me a soundbite or a slogan that would define who Big Joe Lewis is,
goodness.
Could you? As a person, as a musician?
A good man. He likes to sing.
That's a good one. So if...
I mean, I'm not always good. I've had my bad moments.
I can imagine.
And there
that.
Are other people who... you know, you might speak to some people who would have a very different opinion. I mean, a good meaning man. I don't mean perfect in any sense of the word.
But who is?
Yeah.
If you were 99, and because I asked this to the lovely Anna Bonbon as well, how would you like to, is that how you would like to be remembered, or is there another way? Would you be happy to be remembered as a good man who liked to play music?
I don't know. I really don't think about how I'd be remembered. No.
Okay.
Sorry, that's not a very good answer.
No, it's an honest answer. I don't ask for anything else except honesty.
No,
if you don't.
I don't. You know, when I'm here, I'm here. When I'm gone, I'm gone. And whether anybody remembers me or not, it's...
Don't bother.
It doesn't really bother me now.
Okay.
Remember when I'm living.
Okay. And think of you well when you're living.
Bring me flowers when I'm living.
That's a good policy. Okay. Big Joe Lewis. We are piratepods.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we do ask everybody to do a little pirate impression before we finish. So if you wouldn't mind. Big Joe Louis is hopping around a mouthful. And you can probably hear the stomping on the floor. Big Joe Louis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, now keep on drinking, baby. You know you might lose your happy little home. Well, now so the TV set. Bought some wine and whiskey too. Now you're trying to sell my records, baby, and you know that would never do. Drink out.